Welcome back to The Record. I'm Jeannie Yandel, and I'm here with Bill Radke. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Jeannie.
So I'm still thinking about the thing that our last guest, Rosalinda Guillen, said, that we need to raise our sons to respect a woman's personal space. That really stayed with me.
Right. That was a great conversation, by the way. Yes, raising our sons. It's on the boys. Do you hear that? Tween and teenaged boys, you are going to be the next generation of better men. And I'm not kidding around with you, boys. Your moms are here. Okay? That's how serious I am about this. Jody Allard is managing editor at the monthly parenting magazine Parent Map, a mother of two young men and their sisters. Hi, Jody.
Hi.
Good to see you again.
Good to be here.
Seattle writer and Seattle U journalism professor Sonora Jha finishing a memoir about raising a feminist son. Welcome, Sonora.
Thank you.
Jody, you wrote in the Washington Post, of all places, quote, "My sons are part of the problem." What did you mean by that?
Yeah, that was during the Brock Turner case, and I started talking to my sons kind of about that case in the news and, you know, just sexual assault in general. And I think as a parent, it's really tempting to feel like, you know, I'm going to raise a good kid, he's going to be a kind kid, and that's it, and my job is done, and he's not going to be one of these awful men that, you know, harasses or abuses. And at a certain point, as my kids became teenage boys, I started to realize, you know, they're teenage boys. Mm-hmm. No matter what foundation that I've given them, you know, they're good kids. And, you know, in a lot of ways, they're far better feminists than any teenage boy that I knew when I was 15 or 16. But there's still a lot of work to be done. And for me, that line is really about, you know, all of our kids, all of our boys are part of the problem. It's not just mine. I could have written that about anybody's kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just recognizing the work to be done.
Okay. Well, I certainly want to hear about your boys' reactions to being mm-hmm. told that they're part of the problem. I want to bring in Sonora Jha. Sonora, what's your experience? Did you tell your son he's part of the problem?
Oh, yeah. We definitely had some fights where he had to hear that kind of a thing. But also, you know, now he's 22 and I get to sort of look back and see some of the, you know, some of the outcomes of that kind of upbringing where this issue of masculinity was sort of front and center. And part of it was from the life choices that I was making that he was aware of and being sensitive to. And part of it was direct conversations. So in the piece that I wrote recently, I talked about the first time he asked about when boys and girls are ready to have sex. And he was in sixth or seventh grade.
Yes. He was in the back of the car.
Yes. That's the best place to talk to teenagers because they don't have to make eye contact.
Amen.
Yeah. And I said that girls may not be ready. And for him to hear that from his mother and to listen, you know, there's something that goes out into the world and he's able to speak up. And I often heard him speak to his male friends and sort of say, I don't like to talk about women that way. And that felt really good. So
I like that part of your answer to him was about being a friend.
Yes.
Will you tell us about that?
Yes, because that's really what we're seeing in things like the Aziz Ansari case, that you really have to be present to a woman's discomfort as well as her pleasure, right? So if you are having, you know, you're on a date or you're having sex, that a woman is probably likely because of socialization and because of that particular moment and all the things that she comes in with, she's going to have a lot going on and a lot of pressures on her. And to be her friend and to listen is not going to take away from the pleasure of the moment or the date. It's actually going to enhance it. And you have to trust that a woman who's feeling engaged and happy is going to be much more fun to be with.
And Sonora, from what I've read of your writing, your son has been more open to this conversation with you. But back to Jody. First of all, your sons are how old?
They're 17 and 19 now.
17 and 19 now. Oh, so when they read in the Washington Post that they're part of the problem, especially your oldest son, reacted how?
I mean, they read my work when it has to do with them before, you know, I'll talk to them about it and they're okay with it. You know, and I'd written for other publications before. They didn't really anticipate that this would go to people they might know, because maybe your average 16-year-old boy doesn't read the Washington Post, or at least kind of that's what we thought. But this particular article got a lot of reactions, and so teachers brought it into the class. Friends started sharing it. They heard people talking about it on the bus as they're sitting there. And so this was a very visceral experience for them, and they were not very happy. And actually, one of my sons was really angry. He started, you know, seeking out a lot of, like, conservative viewpoints on YouTube, and he really just kind of rebelled against the whole thing.
He was being defensive.
Yeah, very, very defensive and very like, hey, I'm a good kid. I understand what consent is. And that's when I had to say, and this is in that piece, okay, but what do you do when you hear a friend tell you that maybe they didn't get consent or maybe they pushed a girl to have sex? And the answer is nothing. And I'm like, well, then you're not actually being the good kid. Good is a verb. Like, you don't get to just pat yourself on the back because you know better. You have to actually do something.
Based on the blowback I read about that you got from your oldest son, or is this a cautionary tale? Is there a risk in saying something so attention-getting to our kids that, yeah, you too, you're bathed in sexism, you're part of the problem? Because it sounds like your oldest son became a little men's rights activist.
He dipped his toes in it. Yeah. And actually, the funny thing was, I kind of stepped back and I kept saying the same stuff I always say, and I didn't really engage with him on what he was choosing to seek out. And he pretty quickly was like, wow, this is no, I want nothing to do with this.
Uh-huh.
So he kind of came back on his own. You know, it's been a while now. And I think these are hard conversations. You know, adults get upset when they're confronted with their privilege or when they're confronted with their inaction. So if you're going to talk to a tween or a teen about this, you know, you have to have space for them to be angry. You have to have space for them to be defensive. That doesn't mean the conversation's over. That means you're getting to the good part. You know, change is really uncomfortable. If everybody has a little chat about consent and walks away feeling great about it 100% of the time, I would question that not much growth is actually happening. So, yeah, my sons were really mad. Like, it went on for a while, frankly, mostly just because of the degree of publicity. They didn't necessarily care because they'd been hearing me say this stuff for years. So it wasn't the message so much as the degree of publicity. But yeah, they don't like being told that they have privilege or that they need to seek out enthusiastic consent. You know, my son was like, teenage boys don't ask girls before sex. And I'm like, well, then you're not actually getting consent. A year later, now I hear them and I know that it was worth that those uncomfortable moments because they've evolved so much.
Well, let's talk about the degree of the challenge, Sonora. To what extent do you think your, I'm sure, angelic son and boys and men are fighting a biological drive to dominate or feel powerful? What do you have conversations about that?
Yes and no. I don't want to necessarily go to that whole thing about the biological drive because I feel like that becomes a part of that rape culture conversation where a lot of men absolve themselves saying, well, you know, we're supposed to spread our seed or, you know, those kind of things. But I think the central conversation that we have kept alive, and you know, he's been watching me be, you know, I'm a journalist and I'm a woman in the world and I'm achieving things as well as feeling vulnerable, and talking also about why boys cannot be vulnerable or the masculinity issue, that, you know, what are the pressures to be masculine and what are the privileges, as Jody said. But also, I think part of why it's been easier, even though it's difficult, is he's a young man of color, right? So I'm raising a brown-skinned male in America. So he does not enjoy some of the entitlements and privileges that, say, his white friends do. And so that had already placed him in a position of inquiry into that and to understanding where the differences are. And I think that gets him to empathize a little more. And we also approached it through many things. Like, one of the things I tell other parents is take your kids to the movies. Go with them to the movies. Talk about the movies. Talk about the representations of the women there. Watch television with them. One thing that
what if they just want to watch movies and TV without their mom.
Right, they don't want. Well, there were. I used to go to bed at 9:30, and he would stay awake later and watch, you know, shows like what was Rome or whatever. You know, there was lots of shows that I felt like not really parental guidance there, but you know, they do want to do that. But he actually enjoyed over time because we would have conversations because I was open to talking about everything difficult. And that's the thing where we don't shut them down and we really listen and maybe challenge them a bit here and there, but that there's an atmosphere of that listening.
Jody, where are you on weeding out friends? You know, no, you're not hanging around with that guy.
You know, I've never really had to do that with my kids. And I'm not sure that I would, because I think that when you kind of ban a kid from hanging out with someone, that becomes their favorite person in the entire world. But in terms of, you know, just in, I think that the real issue as a parent is that bias for action, teaching kids that it's not that you have to never speak to someone again, but you need to call them out. You need to say that's not cool. It doesn't have to be a 20-minute lecture on feminism and male privilege. It needs to be a that's not cool. And that's all I'm looking for. And I think that that is something that even a teen boy feels like, you know what, maybe I can do that.
I'm talking with Jody Allard from Parent Map and Seattle U journalism professor Sonora Jaw. And we want to hear from you, listeners, so please email us at record@kuow.org or call us 206-221-3663. Again, 206-221-3663. What do you want your friends and relatives to know about the Me Too movement? Can you write that in a letter? And if you're comfortable, can you share it with us? Maybe it's your mom, your child, a friend. We would love to read that letter and publish it on our website. Email us at record@kuow.org. What about getting in? We're talking about making ourselves uncomfortable. Sonora, what about getting in other parents' faces, including your friends who are parents, mm-hmm. and saying, this parenting isn't okay?
Yeah. I have actually done that a few times. I've lost some friends along the way.
Really?
Yes. But one
over place, what? Do you mind telling? Well, holding names and telling stories?
Well, I'll tell you about, you know, the other time when these conversations come up is when there are school shootings. And that's another time to talk about toxic masculinity. And I remember being at this gun control meeting and saying, every time there is something like this, I ask my young son, what would it take for you to be violent like this, you know? And he talks about, you know, well, I have a good support structure, I have friends, but I can see alienation of young boys is a problem in America. And when we talk about those issues, you know, there was one mother that said, oh, that's too much. You know, we can't place this burden on our boys. Our boys are good boys, right? We shouldn't say things like this to them. Those boys are evil who are doing these things. And I feel like this, I mean, again, being a bit from the outside, coming from India and not having these clear notions of good and evil as we have here in America.
That's interesting.
You know, and the gray spaces in between, to be able to talk about, you know, our boys are going to make mistakes. They're going to get angry. They're going to, you know, they've got pressures on them. So, and I know that, you know, several of the moms disapproved of having that kind of a conversation. And I'm glad that the Me Too movement is at this point where we're beginning to be able to tell young men, sort of like what Jody said, that, you know, you are part of the problem. If you are not looking for solutions and actively standing up for two other young men or for your women friends, then you are part of the problem.
We just have a couple minutes left. So, Jody, let's help us focus our mind here at the end of this discussion. Sonora used the word solutions. What can I take away from this conversation? We've just heard Rosalinda said we need to help our boys be better men. What's something we can do?
I would say talk to them. You know, you can't talk about it too much, but a great way to actually have these conversations is not to talk about your son and his choices or, you know, his dating life, but to actually just talk about the headlines, you know, work through consent in those aspects, you know, especially like a 15, 16, 17-year-old boy can make those connections and feels much more free to have these dialogues when it isn't quite so personal. And when you can remove a little of that defensiveness, then there's a lot more growth.
Yeah, I've probably gone straight at it a little more often than necessary. How about you, Sonora? Any solution, a suggestion we can take away?
Yeah, I think also listen to them, which is the other end of it. Just really listen to what their pressures are, what's going on in their world, why they feel certain things. Are they afraid? You know, what do they have to say about men saying, oh, now I can't talk to a woman at work and, you know, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And I'm always, I find it refreshing when I listen to my son really stand up and he, you know, says things like he discovered feminism on his own. I had nothing to do with it. And that's really nice.
You know, we don't need the credit.
Right, right. I let him have it, you know, so we got to let them have some things and say, yes, you go for it. I'm rooting for you. You lead the charge now.
Let them have it. Sonora Jaw, journalism professor, Seattle University, is writing a memoir about raising a feminist son. Jody Allard is managing editor at the monthly news magazine Parent Map, and she writes in the Washington Post and other places. Mother of a couple young men and their sisters as well. And it's been great to talk to both of you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.